Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, now also podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I'm your co-host, Walter Duralia, joined, as always, by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, who is professor of comic book history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
That is correct. Walter, how are you today?
I am feeling festive and cheerful.
You know what? Christmas is 2 days away.
Oh, yes.
And you know what? I'm already getting excited.
I am too. Yeah. I was excited a month ago.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. You know what? I gotta say, is great is when you're driving down the street at night, and you see all the Christmas lights on and all that kind of stuff. I love that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, and I don't know if you've noticed it too, Chris, but everybody just is friendly with
everybody. Yeah, absolutely.
It should be Christmas all the time.
You know what? That's a great sentiment.
No, I'm serious. Like you notice that people's tolerances are just nicer. Yeah, hey, how you doing, friend?
For sure. And, you know, and people Merry are Christmas. Wishing each other Merry Christmas,
Happy Holidays.
You never even met him, or yeah. You know, yeah, it's great. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's fantastic.
All right.
Well, we should probably get the show started. We can, you know, wax.
I thought we already did.
We can wax prophetic about Christmas all we want.
Yes,
but
teary-eyed here.
Let's get. We have listeners.
Yes, we do.
And those listeners are waiting to hear about comic books this week.
Yes, you're right, Chris. We'll start the show off as always with a couple of today's new releases.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Now. People that know, we'll mention it again next week, but next week there are no new comics.
What?
Yes, yeah, the first time in history or whatever.
Yeah, you know,
I guess the way Christmas falls, which is this Friday, which is, I guess, scheduling of the shipping and stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There was some sort of big uproar with the retailers, and I think what they're doing is they're shipping one title next week, a big event title. We'll get into that next week, but there's no large shipment next week. Yes.
Like, I mean, on any given week, how many different titles would come out?
Oh, like 40, 50 easy.
Okay, and you're saying like 10 next week?
One or two, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I think Marvel's only putting the one out.
What's the point?
I think it's coming this week. I'm not sure, but I think it is. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so for all of you comic book fans out there, if you're planning on going to the store next week to pick up something new,
well, there will be something.
There'll be a few things new, but maybe this is a good time to check into something different, because a lot of times when you have your usual monthlies that you're into and you want something to read, well, now's a great time to look into something different.
Right. And you know what, Chris, people love routine, right?
Oh, so absolutely.
A lot of our, let's say, our Wednesday regulars, and I'm sure at every comic shop, is they love popping into the local shop on the Wednesday or on the Thursday or on the weekend or whatever. So, and I'm sure they will not stop. But because there isn't a selection next week, it's a great time, like you said, to try something new, or even
pick up a trade.
Yeah,
you know, because comics, you know, they're not cheap. But you know what? If you pick up four or five comics, maybe on a given week, and maybe now instead of picking up those four or five comics, you can pick up a trade.
Yeah, you pick up a trade.
You know, and maybe that trade will lead into more trades, and you have a great reading.
Excellent. Well, today, hitting the stands, Stephen King fans always rejoicing. Dark Tower, Battle of Jericho Hill, number 2, hits the stands today.
Okay.
I'm very surprised at the resiliency of this Dark Tower franchise.
You know what? I actually had a bit of a conversation with somebody that's also in radio about this whole Dark Tower stuff, and he's a big Stephen King fan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't really know that much about Stephen King. And or his books, but I guess this whole a lot of the comics that are being presented by Stephen King fill in gaps in the Stephen King novels.
Right.
So I wasn't aware of this.
Right.
So,
yes. No.
So apparently this is why it's such a huge phenomenon.
Yes. Because it's
answering a lot of questions that were left unanswered before.
Yes. So it's not just some sort of blanket reinterpretation.
No, of
Stephen King.
I was unaware of this.
Right.
So for that particular person, and you know who you are, I want to say thank you for enlightening me about the Stephen King comics.
Yes. Thank you. Halo. Bloodline number 1 hits the stands today, and I also picked that one for a reason. We talked about it last week, Chris, is I really like, and I wanted to highlight some comic books that are being produced that are being taken from other media.
Yes.
You know, in this case, video games.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Well,
and this is, I think, the third or fourth reincarnation of Halo in a miniseries.
Yeah, yeah.
And always does well.
Well, you know what's funny is that I don't know who's doing. I don't know if you have the notes on who's doing this one, but the ones that were done in the past, although they're really, really cool looking, they're usually done by that artist Ashley Wood. And although they're really cool looking, I don't think it really had a big audience because of his art style. It was right. sort of very, very artsy, very
yeah,
stylized.
Ashley Wood is very, yeah, you either very, love him or you hate him.
Yeah,
Ashley
very
Wood,
stylized.
Robots and new chicks.
Basically, that's what he used to draw, yeah. Right. And now, although as I said, although I like the guy's artwork, I don't think it was for everybody, and mm-hmm. and that's why I'm wondering how this if this new series if it's by the same guy.
No, I don't have the notes on who's drawing the art, but it is not Ashley Wood.
Okay, so it's probably something a little more mainstream.
Yes, yeah, very much so. Very much so.
So if you're a Halo fan, you might want to go check that out.
Oh, it's really good.
Cool.
X-Men Legacy number 231 hits the stands today. Now. You know, number 231 is a feat for any title.
Absolutely.
Now, this X-Men, this is the second X-Men title. This is, X-Men Legacy is the old new X-Men title, if you remember. The whole Grant Morrison run and stuff.
Right.
So that is now X-Men Legacy. Or years ago, it switched over to X-Men Legacy. Still going strong.
Wow, that's still going, eh?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And what Marvel does probably better than anybody else is it's... transfers some main events over into like Uncanny X-Men,
yes.
X-Men Legacy, X-Men.
You know,
two parts of the story are in this title,
yeah.
and two parts of the story are in the other title. It keeps that title strong.
It does, but at the same time, you know what? It's very frustrating for a lot of readers.
Yes.
You know, because you start reading, you know, you're reading one title, then all of a sudden you have to read another one.
Right.
In order to get the story, and then before you know it, you're now collecting 5-10 different
X-Men
stories.
Well, you know what, though? X-Men fans being X-Men fans, they're probably already picking them up to begin
with. Yeah, I'm sure.
Over on DC, Justice Society of America number 34 comes
out
today.
Oh, awesome.
Now, I didn't know, but Bill Willingham is writing Justice Society right now.
Right,
and
right.
he's, of course, Fables writer.
Yeah, very famous for Fables, yes.
So, I mean, this is good. I mean, I haven't read a JSA. I don't think I've read it. I've read JLA, but I've never read a JSA.
Oh, you're kidding! Really?
Yeah.
I just one of the I don't collect a lot of titles, but I do collect JSA.
Right.
I think it's a phenomenal series. I think the cast of characters that are in it
mm-hmm.
Are really diverse and really obscure but cool. Like you're talking about the Golden Age Green Lantern with mm-hmm. Power Girl with Wildcat with
yes.
It's just all these really cool
right.
characters, right?
Right.
That, you know, are all kind of mishmashed together.
Well, and I'm sure Willingham's going to put his own really cool slant
absolutely,
on the whole thing.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, that's coming out today. And over at Dark Horse, anytime Mignola comes out with a new Hellboy...
Anything.
It's always in news.
Yeah.
So Hellboy, the Bride of Hell.
Right.
One-shot hits
nice.
The stands today. And Hellboy still's got a great cult
film. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Great cult film.
Now, I'm assuming this is written and drawn by...
No, the artist is Richard Corbin.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, Richard Corbin's been doing a lot of the Hellboy artwork.
Right,
lately,
yeah. You know? I mean, Mignola does the cover art But Corbin does
the interior art.
Yeah,
Well,
so.
and Richard Corbin's been doing a lot of the interior art lately. Which
right.
I mean, he's a phenomenal artist.
Yeah.
For those of you who may have collected Heavy Metal magazine
mm-hmm.
In the 70s, Richard Corbin was the guy that wrote and drew Den, which was
I remember Den.
It was. Sort of like this, this like barbarian kind of futuristic fantasy kind of world type thing.
Action adventure thriller.
Yeah. So, anyways, if you like that stuff, you might want to pick up Hellboy.
Okay. Chris, we're going to end this week's releases and jump over into some industry news. As we all know, industry news, this is where I scour the internet for interesting stuff.
Scour.
And
how long did you spend on today? 5 minutes?
10.
Oh, good for you. All right.
Chris, Planet Hulk. Remember Planet Hulk?
Yes.
Great miniseries.
Yes, I loved it. Yep.
Who did the art for that? Pack?
No, that was written by Pack. Pack was the writer.
Right.
And drawn...
Junior, what's his name? Romita. Romita did that.
John Romita Jr.,
yeah.
And I think... I don't know if Ed McGuinness got involved in that at all or not, but
no,
anyways.
I think Romita did most of the art for the main line. And then, you know what? It was one of those things where it had 17...
Tie-ins and crossovers
and stuff. But I think the main thing was Romita Jr. Well, Lionsgate... is coming out with a Planet Hulk animated feature.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And they're having some sort of big media release for it in New York and L.A.
Very cool.
And it's sponsored. This is cool. It's sponsored by Newsarama.
Oh, yeah.
And the New York Comic Con.
Really?
Which is great to see kind of like a comic institution.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, going out and putting some money behind.
Well, yeah, yeah, because a lot of times those kind of like institutions like Newsarama or Comic Con, like they're the usually ones getting sponsored.
Yes. Right?
And so it's cool that they're there sort of now on their own. They can now sponsor something else.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. That's great. Now, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure this is going to be one of those things that's going straight to DVD.
Right. Oh, for sure.
But they are trying to get some sort of theatrical release for it, a private screenings almost.
Right.
In New York and in L.A. Now, obviously, it's working because it's getting them some publicity, as in right now.
You know, it's too bad. I mean, whenever they do stuff like that, they should do something in Toronto, too, really.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, Toronto's is a huge market. Like,
you're right.
The Southern Ontario area, I mean, if I knew something like that was going to come to the big screen, being a Hamiltonian, I would probably make the trek into Toronto.
Well, the thing with Toronto, I mean, I don't know. I don't have the demographics of North America, but I think in terms of just commerce and stuff, it's probably like, you know, the fourth largest center.
I would think so,
You know, New York, L.A., Chicago, maybe, and then Toronto. Because if you're looking at the greater Toronto area, but not only that, the thing, though, is what these guys got to realize is what happens in Toronto really happens across Canada.
Absolutely,
because
that's right.
Because Toronto is the news magnet for Canada.
Yep, that's right.
So you're not just getting the GTA and Golden Horseshoe,
you know,
6-7 million. You're getting 33 million or 30 million people with Toronto publication, like Toronto publicity.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So, hey, if anybody's listening to this, making decisions,
yes,
remember that.
Listen to us.
Listen to us. Okay. Bryan Singer.
Bryan Singer, of X-Men fame and
fame.
And Valkyrie.
Valkyrie, yeah.
Yeah, great movie.
I love Valkyrie.
Yeah,
yes.
Great movie.
Valkyrie, wasn't she a villain in... no, she was a heroine in Thor.
Valkyrie was in The Defenders.
Of course, she was in The Liberators too, which was like the first all-female hero
squad. Yes.
Well, we're talking, of course, about the Tom Cruise. Valkyrie,
yes, the original. Codename Valkyrie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyways, Mr. Singer.
Yeah,
has signed on to do X-Men First Class.
Oh, whoa, what's that?
For Fox. X-Men First Class is...
let me guess, the graduating class of the Xavier.
Yeah, it's like a young thing where all the characters are very young. And it's Xavier's and Magneto's first meeting.
Right.
And it's about the founding of the Xavier Institute.
Oh, very cool.
I mean, obviously Fox doesn't want to give up the license to X-Men.
No,
but obviously Fox is thinking that the X-Men franchise is strong enough to start delving into other things rather than the core Halle Berry X-Men.
Yeah, you know what? It's smart because it's X-Men, so people are going to go see it. Two, it's Bryan Singer, so people are going to go see it.
Right.
But three, if they're going to get stars that aren't all that famous, then they won't have to shell out $20 million per star.
Gene Hackman, Popeye Doyle, as Wolverine.
As Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor.
As Wolverine.
I mean, Hugh Jackman, all the Halle Berry.
Yes.
Listen, that franchise, the X-Men franchise.
Yes.
Is long in the tooth now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
So Fox now is, they're pulling a Star Trek.
Yes, they are, yeah.
They're pulling a Star
already,
Trek.
Already, yeah.
They're pulling a Star Trek. They're going early. They're going young. They're going, you know, young Kirk, young Spock.
Yep.
And if they hit, they've got three sequels
at least ready to go.
Because they're going to pick young stars and stuff like that. And guess what? All these old X-Men are.
But the only problem that we're going to have with this is. You know, who's the one main character that's already had his own movie that's the main star of the X-Men movies?
Wolverine. But they're not going to pick Jackman.
But he's not. He can't even be in it.
So? They'll pull like an old Spock pairing with a new Spock. Yes, young Logan.
Logan, I've watched you from the past.
Yes.
I realize you're the best at what you do.
Right.
But so am I.
So am I. I'm just
That's
saying.
So ridiculous.
Hey, listen, we're talking about comics. It's all ridiculous.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Come on. No, but my point is, they're it's a no-lose situation for
right.
them, in a sense. I mean, you know, it might not succeed, but they got, you know, they have to produce a movie, and
yes.
there's a lot of potential upside
absolutely,
if they
absolutely.
Produce a good
yep.
one.
For sure,
And it's all about casting now,
and,
right?
And there's certainly more than enough good stories out there that they can draw from for characters and for ideas and all that kind of stuff, right?
Right,
so
right.
It doesn't always have to be the death of Jean Grey or, you know, the world of tomorrow,
yeah.
whatever that storyline's called.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, any kind of movie, I think if they make it a good story, it doesn't, like you say, it doesn't have to be super sensational.
No.
It just has to be really
a solid
good and entertaining.
Story, right.
Right. Right. Okay, excuse me.
I mean, I don't need to see, you know, about how, you know, Magneto left his kids who were like Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch and how they were raised by some, you know, female cow, which is what happened in the comics.
Right.
But, you know, like, and when I say cow, I mean an actual bovine, like not like, you know, a woman.
Chris, what was the, what was that? It was in Man-Thing.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Which was it? Was it a killer cow or something like that? She was that. It was a giant sized man thing.
Giant sized man thing number four.
Number four or five.
And it was a vampire cow.
Vampire cow.
Yeah, a vampire cow.
Way ahead of its time, right there. Way ahead of its time.
And you know, I'm really glad that you picked that comic.
Thank you.
Because I actually own that comic.
Good for you, Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you single?
Oddly enough, yes.
Just because
I have a giant sized man thing number four.
Hello, Chris.
I said number four,
Chris.
Yeah.
Frank Miller's Xerxes.
Xerxes, yeah.
Xerxes. Did
yes.
I say that wrong?
Yeah.
You know, I am not Greek.
No.
Xerxes, he is writing a graphic novel called Xerxes.
Oh, cool.
Which is a prequel
to the 300.
The 300.
Sure.
It's about, I guess, the Battle of Marathon.
Oh, cool.
And set in the same time, obviously 10 years before. A lot of buzz around this on the internet.
Right,
already. Who was the guy that directed?
That was Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder, yes. Zack Snyder is already interested in the movie rights for this thing. This guy hasn't even finished the graphic novel for it.
Well, Zack Snyder, he directed the 300. He directed the Watchmen movie.
Yes.
You know, so he's very good at doing.
Well, he hit gold with 300, but The Watchmen was kind of anticlimactic,
well,
really.
It was.
It couldn't live up to the hype. The hype was too much.
Too much.
Right, too much.
And the problem with Watchmen that I've talked to a lot of people about, all the comic book guys love it. All the people that don't know anything about comic books hated it because they were like, I don't want to see our superheroes having sex or doing all these weird things that normal people do.
Right.
I just want to see them, you know, beating up bad guys.
Right. Well, the studio is very interested because I think I had the figures here. I think 300 cost like 67 or 68 million budget, but it grossed like 458 million or something like that. So it's crazy money.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean. And I think Miller really liked. I mean, maybe Miller is licking his wounds from the dreaded. What the heck was it?
Oh, the Spirit.
The Spirit.
Yeah.
Let's go, man. I got to fill those coffers again. Let's go back to 300.
I got to do something to get some more money going.
Yeah,
in
I know.
Here. Yeah.
Remember 2 weeks ago, Chris? We talked about.
I don't remember 2 days ago, but anyways. Yeah.
Well, 2 weeks ago we talked about Frank Frazetta's son.
Oh right, yeah. Who
busting into the Frazetta studio.
Yeah, okay.
To and pull a $20 million heist on some Frazetta pieces.
So is there an update for that?
There's an update for that. The
dear.
Pocono Record in Pennsylvania there. That's high-end journalism.
That's
sort of like our show. You know?
Now, did you actually go on the Pocono Records website?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I was on a popular comic news website that referred to the Pocono Record. But then I did click on the Pocono Record link and I did read their side of the story. Because they're connected, right?
Right.
Apparently, what they're saying is Frank Sr., the beloved God that is Frank Frazetta.
Illustrator, yes.
He attempted to authorize Frank Jr. to secure the paintings.
Okay.
But control of the paintings and thus ownership of the paintings apparently have been transferred to an LLC controlled by Frank Jr.'s other siblings.
Oh.
And an LLC being, I think, a limited liability company.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I think.
What? Yeah. It's like you know something about economics or something.
Somebody will prove me wrong. And if they do prove me wrong, they can.
Go to email us at mailbox@bigbcomics.com. Ask for Walter for that one. Mm-hmm. Or you can always email me at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca.
Right. So the record, that is the Pocono record.
Yes.
They report that a notary said that she'd notarized documents for Frank Sr., authorizing Frank Jr. to secure the paintings.
To steal them.
Yes, to steal them.
Right.
Now, I don't know. I mean, I don't know much about law, obviously.
Okay.
I mean, did he give them away? Why are they no longer Frank's? I mean, he obviously must have signed them away to his other kids.
He may have already, I mean, I know he was of ill health, so maybe he had a living will that he's already, you know, put them in trust in some other company or somebody else in hopes that when he eventually passes away, like we all will one day, that everything will be looked after. And but who knows what's happening now? Maybe who knows what the politics of families are like?
You know what? Well, I think the good news to the whole story is that we all sold Frank Jr. short.
Yes.
We all jumped on this. What kind of ass was this? Stealing his dad's thing.
Stealing from his own.
You know what? I mean, you feel like an idiot now because.
Well, you should.
Yeah. No, I meant you.
Oh, right. Me?
Yes.
Oh, what?
And obviously, there was more to the story. And obviously, he won't be doing time.
Right.
And all that kind of stuff.
Right.
There's some sort of family misunderstanding going on here. And we just all hope that it clears up.
By the way, I have Frank Jr.'s email. If you want some paintings, just let me know.
Oh, nice.
No, I'm just joking. Nice. Totally joking.
Of course you are.
Yes.
Chris, I think that will end the industry news. Is that what you call it? Industry news.
That will
end industry news for this week, and we'll jump into some sort of a topic that we wanted to leave loose.
We were talking earlier about it's Christmas this Friday, and I'm just curious, when I was a kid. And I still now even ask for comic books. But when I was a kid, I used to ask for comic books I used to write out a list. And my mom would go down to the comic book store and hand it over to my dirt bag of a son. No, I'm just joking.
Right.
She would say my son wants these comics.
They weren't.
Well, he wants these comics, and then I would get comics for Christmas. It was awesome, right?
Yes.
I'm just wondering, did you ever ask for comics when you were younger, or is that something that you kind of, you knew it wasn't going to happen, so...
Yeah, we're immigrants, right? Mm-hmm. And when your parents don't speak English...
Yeah, fair enough.
It's really hard... To get something that they don't understand,
right?
So basically, I had to steal my comics. I mean, I had to, sell pop bottles, pop bottles and milk jugs and stuff to go get my comics and stuff like that. But as I got a little bit older, I have an older sister,
right?
And she's 10 years older. So by the time I was 10, 11, 12, we've already been in Canada for a while, and she. She was starting to get interested in my taste and stuff like that. And it wasn't really comic related, but the quick story I have is, and it's embarrassing to me in a sense, is that I think I was 11.
Okay.
And it was regarding Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
okay.
It was some sort of great little Star Trek toy.
Right.
And she saw it in a book and she goes, oh, how about this, before Christmas?
Right.
Wouldn't you like this Star Trek toy?
Right.
Wouldn't this be cool?
Yeah.
And I go, no, that's stupid.
Oh, right? No.
And it might have been the day before Christmas or something.
Oh, no.
And, of course, the next day, that's what she had already gotten me. And I felt like a complete idiot.
Right.
Because she obviously knows I'm into this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes out and tries. And I screwed up the whole thing.
Oh.
So,
Do you still have that toy?
Yes, I do.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
Come on.
It's at my mom's house.
That's awesome.
Unbelievable.
Do you remember what it was? Or?
It was a Starship Enterprise that was attached to a radius bar. that would go around. It had a fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you controlled the speed of the fan, and then the starship would dip or raise.
Oh, cool.
And it had a little hook on the bottom, and it would pick up things like a Klingon
or
Captain Kirk
something
like that. Yeah.
Very cool.
What kind of idiot wouldn't want that?
Well, you know what? You're probably at an age where you thought, that looks too much like a kid type thing.
Well,
right?
I don't know what it was, but I did screw up. But sis, if you're listening, I love that toy.
Yeah, well, that's good.
It's going on eBay next week if anybody is interested in it. Anyway, how about you? Like, is there a great moment? Like, that's probably my defining moment when I was a kid because it was negative.
Right.
It was something that stuck in my memory, right? Yourself?
You know, lots of great moments as far as that kind of stuff. And, you know, I was a huge, huge Star Wars, still am a huge Star Wars fan. Although it's got nothing to really do with comics.
It does. Star Wars is a great comic
that's
book
true.
Franchise.
True. That's of course true. It does. And you know it what? Does. And it was a comic book even
And comics held that franchise together in those lean years Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, for sure.
When there was nothing happening for a decade and a half.
You're absolutely right.
Comics held that franchise.
You're absolutely right.
Don't say that.
When I was a little kid, I would say probably like 5 or 6 years old. I remember back then they were probably like $3 each, so they weren't expensive. They weren't they weren't cheap, but you know they were moderately priced. I remember I got like about 10 of these different figures, and that just sort of like blew my mind because that was what I got for Christmas, and it was like
little Star Trek,
little Star Wars figures, and of course I had to line them all up on the couch.
Did you get Scotty?
No, I didn't get Scotty.
Okay.
I did get Chewbacca, though.
Right. Oh, nice.
Chewbacca was actually one of the first figures I ever got.
Nice.
It was a Star Wars figure.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yes.
Now, do you still have them?
I do.
You do?
I still have all of my Star Wars toys.
Right.
There was a phase when I thought, when I was about like 12 or 13, I thought, I'm getting out of this stuff, and I was going to sell them. My mom said, no, you can't sell this stuff.
You can't.
And thank God that she had the mindset to tell me not to sell these
things. Now, you're a Star Wars fan, and you've been accumulating some of this stuff for a while. Can you recognize? Can you go down into your area, storage area, where you have these things, and look at a figure and go, yes, you know, when I was 6, I got this, and this
pretty
is,
much,
can
pretty
you?
Much, yeah, pretty much. I can look at a figure and I think to myself, oh, I remember for the most part, I remember where I got it.
Right, every figure tells a story.
For the most part, my sister used to competitively swim, and so we used to have to go to the States all the time for like swim meets.
Yes,
and of course I would go with my mom, and it was sort of a big deal, of course, to appease me and to make it more of an event. She used to buy me one or two Star Wars figures.
Nice.
And so it was one year I got these two figures, and I remember I brought a camera with me for whatever reason, and I used to bring the camera around. And I was trying to take pictures of these Star Wars figures as if they were real life.
Nice.
So I was taking pictures of them, like, in the trees and all this.
Nice.
Trying to make it look like they're actual real figures.
You know, and the beautiful part, people, is nothing has changed with Chris.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, I don't take as many photos anymore, but I still have the figures.
Right.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, I mean, at our store right now, at Crispus, and there are people, and people are very, very thoughtful. Like they come in and they ask, right? They go, my brother or my son or my cousin or my nephew, they really like this. And
right,
they're asking, though, they're asking, I don't want to get something that's just, that he already has.
Yes.
Can you recommend something that you think he might, that might be special to him and stuff like that? And that's what it's all about,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
And getting something that's surprising. And from somebody maybe that you don't expect to get it from.
Absolutely. In my many years of working in retail in comics, I used to love it when people, when mothers or fathers or whoever it would be, would come in with a list, and I'd be like, okay, here's all the stuff you're looking for.
Right.
Because they would have no idea how to, like, they would say, Spider-Man The End or something like that.
Right.
What
and
the
sad
that?
Part is, with the two sentences they gave you, you'd know what this kid,
exactly
what he needs, right? Exactly
right
what
the
he
book,
needs.
Right to the toy or whatever. Yeah.
And the beautiful part about it is, you and I, Chris,
yeah,
you know, we've probably made many young people happy.
That's right. Yeah, for sure.
My point is, yeah, above that, though, is we've probably put huge smiles on parents' faces and going, you know what?
For sure.
These guys knew what they were talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. And look at that. Now we've got a radio show talking about comic books.
Oh, yeah.
Who would have thought that?
Not me, that's for sure.
And, well, you know, unfortunately, this brings us to the end of another one of our episodes.
Another one.
I know, it's already crazy. But again, if you have any comments or questions, you can email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox@bigbcomics.com. Have a wonderful Christmas.
Yes.
And
enjoy your holidays.
Get somebody a graphic novel and you know, enlighten them to something, a different kind of literature and a different kind of reading.
Yes.
And, you know, have a Merry Christmas.
And we'll see you next week.